Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our time of preparation in this, the season of Lent, is nearing its close. We have spent several weeks thinking about all that the Lord Jesus has done for us and for our saving, his baptism, his temptation by Satan, his overthrow of demons, have all been notes in our ears preparing us for a most powerful moment. Next Sunday will be the remembrance of Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, the week of our Lord's Passion. And that week begins with the jubilance of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But it is tinged by the events we know that happen by the end of that week. Opposition to Jesus will intensify as he moves in and out of the holy city until the celebration of Passover on Holy Thursday. The hour for the glorifying of the Father in the cross of Christ is truly at hand. There is no turning back from the solemnity of Good Friday. But even as we are pulled ever closer to the darkest of weeks, we are granted the scripture readings for today. They can be seen as serving as a timeout of sorts, being called right before the final seconds of the game to make sure the plan is properly in place and everyone knows what should happen. They can be also understood as a final run-through of the great program before the opening night. Ezekiel, the Valley of the Dry Bones, Jesus and Lazarus. But it goes even farther back. Noah and the seven family members surviving certain judgment upon the ark. The Israelites being rescued from captivity and slavery in Egypt. God sparing Isaac from Abraham's knife. Elijah raising the widow's son from death. A man returning to life after being thrown into Elisha's tomb and touching his bones. David's psalmic words, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." And God always preserving for himself a remnant of his people, even in the midst of their exile. And Jesus spoke certain words to the Sadducees that have been stated throughout the Old Testament history. God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, for he is God of the living, not of the dead. Today's gospel text, we heard the beloved story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. It starts off as truly a tearjerker, with Lazarus dying before Jesus arrives. Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, both lament that Jesus had not gotten there sooner, for he could have certainly healed Lazarus and spared him from that death. They believe this because of the many other signs and miracles that the Lord Jesus had already performed, especially those of healing the sick. And yet, Jesus did not rush to Lazarus. Instead, he said somewhat cryptically to his disciples, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus confirms this later at the tomb, after some were echoing what Mary and Martha were saying, that he could have saved Lazarus from dying. Yes, the Lord Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death, but Jesus had so much more in mind. Jesus need not perform any miracle throughout his earthly life, and his own resurrection from the dead would serve as enough for our salvation. But all along, the Lord Jesus had laid down evidence after evidence of his great power as God himself in flesh. Just as God is not stingy with his grace or with his mercy, neither is Christ stingy with his miracles and his signs of his great divine power.
So Jesus ensured that the resurrection of Lazarus would be remarkable. He allowed his friend to be dead for 4 days. That was more than enough to show that Lazarus was truly dead. There would be no claims of trickery or deception. Stunningly, the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus commanded there that the stone be taken away. Martha, of course, expresses her concern about the stench of death. But Jesus proceeded nonetheless. And Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father, and he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And there is Jesus, always working for our benefit, that we may believe in him. Believe in Jesus because he can raise the dead. Believe in Jesus because he can raise himself from the dead. And that is what the Father wants you and me and all people to know. Christ has the victory. He gives that victory to Lazarus in his resurrection. And Jesus won that victory completely in his own resurrection from the dead. Death no longer has any dominion or control over Jesus. And despite all of this great truth, you and I continue in our struggles, in our faith. We believe, but we still need help with our unbelief. We all see all that goes wrong in the world around us. We know our own sinful thoughts and words and struggles. We know the pains of hardship, family strife, job insecurity. Turmoil and betrayal and vileness cause us to see all as a valley of dry and dead bones. And what hope is there in such death? Ezekiel is asked the question, can these bones live? The answer we know best, which that we should give as a people in a world of destruction and of evil, is no. Bones cannot live. They are bones. They have had their day, their time. They are dried out, without life, without power, without joy. Just let them be. And yet, that is not God's way. He is not the God of the dead, of dead bones, of evil, of turmoil, of destruction, of betrayal. He is God of the living, of living bodies, of goodness, of joy, of order and creation, of faithfulness. Now, it is true that our faith in Christ should never, ever once waver. He has given us ample reason to fully believe in him. And even as our sin increases, his grace increases all the more. And yet, we are weak. We are continually in need of God's help and his grace, and he gives it to us. Jesus spent his ministry preparing his disciples for the moment of the cross. His blood must be shed for the forgiveness of all sins, as it first was shed at his circumcision. Jesus went on to change water into wine to show that he was bringing about the new covenant, fulfilling the salvation that had been promised long before. Prediction after prediction is made by our Lord. Yes, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of evil men. He must suffer. He must be killed. But after 3 days, he will rise again. Jesus had given his questioners the sign of Jonah, the one who had come back from the dead after being in the belly of the fish for 3 days, the sign of the resurrection. And tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it, Jesus said. The good shepherd has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. Ezekiel prophesied to that valley of the dry bones. They all returned to life. That gave hope for the people around Ezekiel in their time of exile, that God was not done with Israel, with all of mankind. The faithful would once again dwell here upon the earth. And even more, the faithful would be raised from death to life on the last day. Martha believed it, believed that her brother would rise again on the last day, which indeed he would. But Jesus went forth and raised Lazarus from the dead right then and right there. Yes, Lazarus would go on to die once more, but that death would finally be destroyed in Jesus' own death and his resurrection. Thus, Jesus' raising of Lazarus from death to life paves the way for what is about to take place. Yes, Holy Week is a time of great seriousness and meditation on our own sinfulness. Yes, the joys of Palm Sunday will be replaced by the tragedy of Good Friday. The triumphant King will soon be the crucified King. But all of that is tempered by the promise of the resurrection. All of that is overshadowed by the power of the resurrection. Jesus showed Peter, James, and John his great glory in his transfiguration so that they could report it later on after his resurrection. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead to show that he has power over death. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And he lives on forever, for death no longer has any power over him. And because he lives, you shall live also. And in that repentant hope and in that joy, we travel the road of Jerusalem and the cross with our triumphant Lord and King. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen.